Henry Raines here at the Henry Raines Show at North American Bitcoin Conference. Very excited to be here with Dave Fregale. He is the co-founder of Autonomy, and that's not spelled quite like you think. It's A-T-O-N-O-M-I. We'll be giving you that more in the website in just a little bit. But Dave's is all about security in the Internet of Things. And first of all, for people that don't really understand what's coming, what their world will look like with the Internet of Things, they've heard the buzz phrase, but they probably don't really know what it's going to be like, say, 4 or 5 years from now as they interact with their environment. What do you see?
Yeah, so today, if you look at the numbers of connected devices that we have in the world that are actually sending information connected to the Internet, we're at a number of around 6 to 7 billion devices. Gartner Research has every day, as we keep inching through time, that we're seeing 5 more million devices being added to our network every day. And what that is putting us in a situation to see a future of there will be 50 billion devices here in the next couple of years that are now connected. What that means is, from a cybersecurity perspective, there are potentially 2.5 sextillion connections between those 50 billion. What that is equivalent to is the number of grains of sand on Earth. So if you look at the attack surface there from a cyber perspective, we already have plenty of issues with cybersecurity. I think we all can recognize with issues like Equifax and the storage of data in centralized compartments and data containers, that's creating honeypots for many hackers. What we see with the IoT market is a great opportunity to take the decentralized architecture of blockchain, the immutable ledger that generates, and enable the IoT world to more securely and in a trusted environment have a system that enables those devices to communicate with each other, where the human is now removed from that, hence the term autonomy.
Okay, so when you talk about devices, most people will think about their computer, their desktop, their phone. Maybe say they're noticing things with their car now connected to the network. Where are things that the average person doesn't realize that's the next generation? Is it going to be in the kitchen, in his home, at the doctor's office?
Yeah, I mean, I think we can all start to see now how our light bulbs and our refrigerators and, you know, the various other appliances are now having embedded computers in them. And we're all seeing that. But I think what we're really missing, you know, as we're all learning about this new world of connected devices, is what is that going to enable? And what that's going to enable is new forms of commerce and a new economy between machines that is coming. And what I mean by that is, for example, you take a look at the smart car, you know, the autonomous vehicle that we're all seeing on the news and on YouTube. That autonomous car will need to come pick you up at work one day. Now, you may not park that car at the parking garage. It might bring you to work and then go back home and park itself back in your driveway. But on its way to come pick you back up to work one day, it might need to charge its battery because it has an electric motor. You're not going to be there to actually conduct that economic transaction, but you need to make sure that you trust that your device your car will go to the right charging station. And essentially what we're trying to build with autonomy is the smart governance platform that would allow for your car to know what type of parameters you're willing to accept. What reputation would you enable your device to connect to another device and go charge its battery? And maybe even in a very smart, autonomous fashion, negotiate for a new price based on that given moment of time of what you're willing to pay for that battery charge without actually being there. And I think that's what we're seeing, is that the human will now be removed from many of the economic day-to-day legwork activities through these connected devices. And that's what we're trying to enable to be done in a way that has the heightened level of security, that we can actually trust that these devices will be secure.
So with the example that you just gave us, by the way, we're speaking with Dave Fregale. He's the co-founder of Autonomy, A-T-O-N-O-M-I. And now, the car company is going to be dealing at some level with this in their design. What is the step that you take beyond that? How do you, is this going to be something that you're hoping people will add on to the existing product, or are you trying to become a vendor or a provider for the vendor that's out?
Yeah, it's a great question. So what's really exciting about autonomy and what got me so interested in embarking on this vision here is that Autonomy is being spun out of an existing operating company called Century Technology. Century Technology is one of Gartner's leaders in IoT security. They've been around for the better part of a decade now, working already today with the chip manufacturers. So they're working with Arm, Flextronics, and Intel today, helping to ensure security of the data that's being generated off of these IoT devices that are using their chips. And for Autonomy, you know, as we're, from a Century perspective, securing the endpoints of data, Autonomy is essentially enabling all those endpoints to communicate with each other. So we're leveraging the existing software stack that's already in these chips. And that's what's so exciting, is that you, with Autonomy, you'll be able to join the network based on the software that the Century team has been putting in place for the last couple of years.
So when the consumer sees something like with an Intel label, for example, then we just think, oh, it's all Intel, but really there's a lot of players involved, including Autonomy or Century.
Absolutely. So when you look at even like Google Nest, right, the Nest home kit that you can have a smart home with, that a lot of that equipment is built by companies like Flextronics, right? There's many vendors and manufacturers that go into the value chain that create these devices that are now sold to the consumer level with a certain brand to it, and we see Intel inside with that. There's many different parts to that, and Century is one of those providers of service that factor in software that factor into the development, the value chain of those devices, and that's what's exciting about Autonomy is that we're not just a network for existing devices to join. We're really at the very beginning of the manufacturing process of these devices. So we know the chips well, and we work with the chip manufacturers to secure the chips.
And how long has Autonomy been around?
So Autonomy has been a project for the last 6 months that has been launched through Century. Century Technology has been around for the last 7 years.
And where did you say you're already working, or Century's already working with Intel?
Yeah, so Century has been working with Intel, they've been working with Arm, and they've been working with Flextronics.
Right. Now, the actual Autonomy, is that deployed anywhere yet?
So Autonomy is still in, and we're still developing the product. We're at a beta stage right now, and we will be piloting our project with a new company that's exciting, called Switch.io. Switch is creating a peer-to-peer marketplace for energy, meaning that you will be incentivized in the developing world to put a microgrid solar panel in your home and then generate power and sell it to your neighbor using their token. They're excited about the Autonomy platform because we can actually help secure all that data transfer using our protocol. And that's a project that we're going to get started on once our platform is finished, and we're expecting to finish our platform here in the next few months.
I talked to people that have been to the conference last year, and they said it was just a small room off to the side. Relative. Now we have the whole night center. We have the bottom floor with the huge exhibit hall. And so the acceleration of what you're working on, the Internet of Things, the Autonomy is developing all this facility for it, I try and tell people, and I'm not qualified to do it, that the world that they're going to be walking around in 5 to 10 years is going to be much different than what they're doing now. It sounds to me like what you're talking about is almost a world where the transactions just happen in the environment around us, and we're not real. All those things that we do as a volition of making a transaction, we've already set them up. And it sounds like what you facilitate that with Autonomy.
Right. And I think what we're excited about is, yes, we're all moving towards this new age, a brave new world in which devices and blockchains will enable, this future that we've all just, scraped the surface of understanding. But, what we're trying to bring is the security to that. So being able to securely interact in a trusted environment where there's known trusted devices communicating with each other, that's essentially what we're bringing. And I think our decentralized vision, the ethos behind Autonomy, is that we could envision a world where Moore's Law is approached a level where there's a computer and a lamp, right? And that lamp is now mining Bitcoin and conducting financial transactions as a computing service that's earning the owner of that lamp coins in return. So it's become a profit center for them. and they're part of a financial network, and that financial system is now including, you know, the lamp that's in your living room. I think that's the decentralized vision that we're moving towards, but I think we can all agree that it's similar to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You can't reach the top of the pyramid until you have your basic needs met at the bottom, and we see that with industrial IoT. With the entire IoT market, that the only way we're going to reach a world where all these devices are providing all the value that we've all envisioned is until you solve the base of that pyramid, which is security. Until we create a known, trusted environment for devices, we won't reach that full potential. And that's what we're bringing with our low-level protocol. So I would create an analogy here for autonomy to the internet, where the internet brought TCP/IP and SMTP with email. Those protocols were the low-level protocol for the internet.
So we've been speaking with Dave Vergale. He is the co-founder of Autonomy, A-T-O-N-O-M-I, and it's autonomy.io is where you can find out a lot more about this. And just one more slight preview for the listeners. So if you were, for those of listeners that are old enough to remember this, in 1992, if you were telling somebody about what the internet would turn the world into in 2002, you'd be very hard-pressed to make anybody realize it. In 2003, if you're trying to tell a cellular phone holder what an iPhone was going to change how his world and his interactions in 10 years, you would be hard-pressed. Are we going to look at, you think, 5 years, 10 years from now, and we'll say, wow, that was a different world back then?
Yeah, I think, you know, your analogy back to the World Wide Web is a key one here. And, you know, one of the things that you see when you look at the World Wide Web, what made it really flourish is the establishment of the protocol. Once we reached a protocol, but if you look at the web and the way that the web flourished from 92 to 2002, it took till 2004 until in 2005-ish when Facebook came around, right? So it took over 10 years for that to happen. We're seeing the Facebooks of blockchain being developed today. There's so much muscle memory left over from that everybody has a vision for how we're going. But guess what? We still do not have a protocol yet for blockchain. And we do not have a protocol developed yet. So where people think we're in 96, 97 with the internet age when you look at blockchain, I'd argue we're still back in 1970s in Silicon Valley trying to fool around. So it's very early. I think anyone that's looking at the cryptocurrency market and saying, is it too late to get in? I think, you know, Brock Pierce had a great quote where he said, I think it may not be a question of is it too late, it may be a question of it's too early. And I think we are still very, very early, and we need to be in for the long haul. So I think that, you know, that's sort of my outlook for the next 5 years. But I don't think that any of us can predetermine what the future is going to look like. I think a lot of us use the past as sort of a lens to look through for the future, and that's probably not the most appropriate way to view. But I think we're all in for the long haul.
Dave Vergale, thank you so much.
Thank you for
having
me.
With Autonomy, and we keep our eyes on that. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I drink a cup of coffee and start to comb it out my hair. I drink 40 cups of coffee. 40 cups of coffee.
Wow. Some people really love their coffee. But you'll experience much more to love than just the coffee at Mocha Joe's. The perfect spot for family and friends to relax with casual dining or enjoy the pastries and gourmet coffee shop at 3633 Cortez Road, West Bradenton. It will be love at first bite 7 days a week at Mocha Joe's. Thursday is prime rib night, Friday all-you-can-eat fish, and don't forget the world-famous $4.99 Saturday burger night. Vegetarian? On a gluten-free diet? You won't be left out at Mocha Joe's. There's something for everybody at Mocha Joe's. 3633 Cortez Road West. Don't believe me? Then call them up and ask for yourself at 941-753-7094. Open Sunday to Wednesday for breakfast and lunch. Thursday to Saturday for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
40 cups of coffee waiting for you to come home.
Hey, this is Brian. I listen to it every week. I really like it. Me and my wife, we just stop our cars every Saturday at 12 o'clock, make sure we listen to the show. It's great. I'm learning a lot about these cryptocurrencies. Keep on listening.
Okay, hi everybody. It's Sabine back again for the Henry Rains Show. I've got with me guys from Crypto IQ, and I'm really happy to meet them. They're local boys. They're from Sarasota. We're sharing mics right now, so just bear with us, and we'll start with you.
Great. Hi, my name's Gregory, and yeah, we are our company, Crypto IQ and Crypto Co-op, is in Sarasota, but we're actually kind of diversified. I'm from Montana, my partner here from New Jersey, and over in the Philly area. But we're very excited to be working with Charlie Schrem and the foundation of Crypto IQ, which is really going to be the gold standard in crypto education, training, and trading education. So we're really, really excited to kind of be bringing the foundation of knowledge to the masses about what is cryptocurrency, how do you get in, how do you buy, when do you buy, what do you sell, you know, so real-time trading tips and real world-class training on trading.
Great. That fills me with joy. Take it.
Hi, this is Bob Quintana, and very excited again to be here. Guys, what we really want to do is we want to help demystify this somewhat confusing world for many of cryptocurrencies and the blockchain. And, of course, with our partners Charlie Schrem and the three other major partners of Crypto IQ, who are all very accomplished Wall Street professionals, we feel like we're taking the best of Wall Street and the best of crypto, combining them into a high-caliber level of input that everybody can use to really make a difference for themselves, their families, the people they know, by getting involved in this world, whether you're just venturing in or whether you've already been a seasoned investor in cryptocurrencies and want to see what they're doing at the high end. So we're going to cover the full gamut, and we're hoping to help you out.
Okay, and last but not least, I'm horrible at introductions. I will get better at this. This is literally my second one.
It's Bob Dorn here, and from the Philadelphia area. And these guys pretty much said it all, but, you know, basically to boil it down, what we do is we help the from the crypto curious to the crypto serious and everybody in between. And, you know, we'll hold your hand and walk you step by step by step to whatever level of success you're looking for in the crypto space. And we're having a lot of fun doing it. We also have a free report. Is it okay to?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so yeah. It's cryptocoop.info. So it's cryptocoop.info. And you can get a free report, get Charlie Schrem's top picks just for downloading that report. So
that's fantastic. How about Twitter? Are you on Twitter or Facebook? Do you have those?
Do we have that available right now? I don't think we have it with, but...
Spray question.
Yeah. CryptoCoop.info.
Okay, how about platform-wise? Are you envisioning, is this all online? Are you going to do, have a physical presence? What are you going to do?
Yes, we are going to be a very physical presence, kind of in the epicenter of the crypto universe, which we're calling Sarasota, Florida. But we're going to be doing ongoing seminars. We're going to be doing webinars. We're going to have a real strong social media presence. We're in the launch phase right now. So this is just the birth of what we feel is going to be, again, the gold standard in crypto education, training and education for the curious and the serious and everybody in between.
Okay, I love this. This is why I brought the guys on, because I sort of envision this as building a community. And that's one of the things that this entire movement, the entire crypto blockchain movement, has really impressed me with, is the sense of community that everybody, all the companies, all the projects that I've talked to, everybody has that sense of community. And I think it's absolutely fantastic. One more round, if anybody has any last thing they want to say, anything they want to add.
I'd just love to touch briefly, Sabine, on the concept of community. Folks, that's really what we're doing here. We're looking to create just a huge community of like-minded people who want to make a difference, people who want to change the world, and that's really what we're after. So we'd love for you to be a part of it, whether it's starting out by just downloading the free report that Bob mentioned a moment ago, or it's already involved in buying some cryptocurrencies and you want to get more educated, or you're already a seasoned player and want to take it to the highest level. We'd love for you to come and not just receive great benefits by being around the great minds that are coming into the community here, but also what you can contribute to it. We believe that when you put great people together with great people, some great things are going to happen, and that's what we're committed to.
Excellent.
Yeah, you know, being at this, you know, the North American Bitcoin Conference, you really get to feel that, you know, that it originally started from a group of guys that really wanted to help and change things in the world and make things better. And Charlie Shrem, we just listened to him, and they did a little fireside chat here, and you really got the sense of that, that these group of guys really are on that mission, and it's just really cool to be part of it. I'm fairly new. I'm, you know, stuck my head down the rabbit hole here in the crypto rabbit hole in April, but I'm learning really fast, and I'm just glad to be part of the community.
Yeah, only about a month behind you on that one, so... yeah, so great. Who wants to give contact info? Just probably a website. Keep it simple for this. We will update the links. Henry will get all the links sorted out when he posts this on the podcast. But what's the web?
Sure. You want to go to cryptocoop.info. Cryptocoop.info, and you can download the free report of Charlie's top picks for 2018 of all the various cryptocurrencies that are out there, and it's not just Bitcoin.
Yeah, right. Definitely not just Bitcoin. Okay, cryptocoop.info, and thanks, guys. That's a wrap.
Thanks for having us.
Before we return to our interviews from the North American Bitcoin Conference in Miami this past week, we want to remind you about the meetup January 27th at Mocha Joe's in Bradenton, Florida. That's the Bitcoin and Cryptocurrency Meetup, January 27th. That's a Saturday from 3:30 to 5. We'll be filling you in on all the happenings down in Miami at the Bitcoin Conference, as well as all the news and some special surprises there. So we look forward to seeing you on January 27th for the Bradenton Bitcoin Cryptocurrency Meetup, Mocha Joe's, 3:30.
You're listening to The Henry Raine Show.
Hold their card, so to speak, while it's down 40%. So less volatility is good. And so Bitcoin has a lot of aspects similar to Tether. Tether does it with US dollars. The difference is that our cars are displayed publicly in airports and in boutiques, so you can actually see and know they're there. And so kind of, you know, that gives you even more assurance, hopefully. In terms of the time frame, we actually built the platform already, and we built it using colored coin technology on the Bitcoin blockchain in the early days. And we then spent a lot of time working with people saying, how is it that it works well for you? How do you actually want to buy it? What's the actual pricing? What is it pegged to this car? Is it which currency is it in? And a lot of questions. So we did all of that research, built the platform, got it operational. And then what we said is, because Bitcoin is doing an ICO now in Germany, what we're going to be doing is we're actually decentralizing the platform right now. We're switching it to decentralized nature. And the reason we're doing that is because it makes it more robust, it makes it safer, and it can't be disrupted. You know, so that's why we're doing that. And so in terms of delivery, we are seeing by mid-year this year that we want to have the platform open, cars on, and trading commencing. So we hope to deliver that.
Now, question on the with the cars. Now, I assume there's a company that actually holds the titles for the cars and stuff like that?
Actually, the way it works is, that's a great question, is that we have agents. And so BitCar will authorize a number of what is called agents in our white paper. And those agents will be responsible for sourcing, buying, and looking after the car and paying for the MSI, which is maintenance, storage, and insurance of that car during its life on the platform. And they will also be responsible for moving the car to the locations for display when it gets displayed. And so, in fact, that's a fully outsourced function for a lot of reasons, including legal reasons and including other reasons as well. And those agents will have, you know, have a lot of skin in the game, maybe the best way to put it, so that if they messed up, they would lose, you know, some of the rewards they get for performing those services. So, BitCar will never own any cars itself. It's an autonomous, decentralized platform, and that's how it's designed.
Okay, because I know there's some some groups out there that do that now, where you can invest in the cars, but they buy them and then they sell them. Is your intent to buy and then sell the cars, or is it just a long store of wealth?
Yeah, we are familiar with some. That's another great question. We're familiar with some groups who are like buying and selling cars. I think we're a little different in the sense that we're a frictionless blockchain entity at heart in the platform. And what that means is everything's transparent, first of all. You can never oversell a car. Yeah, everyone can see exactly the history of who owned what. Well, not who owned what, but they can see the titles move across from day one. They can see there's 100% on day one, and they can see where they are right now at any time in real time. So transparency is one thing. In terms of cost, you know, the blockchain really disrupts in all the industries. You know, the cost layer and the speed of processing and the transparency. No need to trust anybody anymore. And those other business models that you would just bring up, some of them, you know, you'd be trusting that a certain person. You know, is he going to run off with a car or whatever? All of that will be gone in the design of BitCar. It is a new model, blockchain powered, and so it intermediates and disrupts some of those issues that are the same in other sectors.
So when you purchase a car, it goes into a museum, and then it doesn't get sold, or does it get sold at some point down the road?
Yeah. So the way it works is, so when that car, let's call it a Ferrari or something, comes on the platform, the idea is it's with the platform for 5 years. And during that time, it'll go wherever location that is. So these cars will be in the key locations like Tokyo, like London, like perhaps Miami as well, where we are today, and other Singapore, of course. And so there'll be little clusters of those cars, and they'll be in a display for a week or something like that. And so they're moved around by the agents to do that. And so people can enjoy the aesthetic beauty, because these are really the top-end cars, like Enzo Ferraris, really the stuff that people love to see. You know, I get excited to see them every time, and the design is amazing. So the enjoyment of them, so people get to see them. So does that help? That's how it's today. So after 5 years, the question was, when do they go? So after 5 years, they're automatically liquidated from the platform. So the agent then, under this contract, will bring them to auction for a minimum reserve price, and they'll be liquidated. However, before that process happens, the users, or the owners, so let's say there's 1,000 owners of them, will each have the opportunity to vote whether that car stays on the platform for another 5 years. They have to just supply a little bit of BitCar coin for that to happen, or whether the answer is no, and if the majority say no, then it gets liquidated. So that's how it works. So a totally transparent, arm's length process.
That's great. So now let's say I want to get into this, and I want to buy something, and Barrett Jackson's, because I love Barrett Jackson's. If you ever see the auctions, they're great. And I'm sure you've gone to a couple. But if you have a car up there at Barrett Jackson's that you guys are looking at, is it possible that I can go and go to fund that specific car? Say it's a, you know, 68 Porsche 911 that's very rare. And that, is that the type of thing that you're going to do in the future so that people can pick which car they want to bid on? And then if there's enough bidding there, it would actually be purchased and put into the whole thing?
I love that question. That shows great innovative thought. And I'm going to say that we have not progressed our thinking at this stage to that point where we would do that. We've been looking at the exit process a lot, so let me just come on to that. So people can actually hold on to a car until like an hour before it's actually auctioned off until the very last minute, which is pretty exciting.
I was wondering about that strategy. Keep going.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. So you can actually watch it in the auction and, you know, right at the last minute to sell, but then the day gets cut off just before bidding starts. In terms of the entry onto the platform, which is that great question there, at the moment, it is very important that the agent takes care and is fully liable and responsible for all those aspects, you know. And if they, for some reason, acquired a car that's two cars glued together, then, you know, the consequences for that, it will come out. These rare cars are very well known by the niche community. They'll know everything about them. So at the end of the day, all the cars that come on the platform will probably already be known about. And so people will be able to comment about that, and it's very important in the community. So if there's something wrong with one of those cars, and the performance deteriorated on the platform, the agent would pay the consequences of that, and perhaps even compensate. This is what happens on the entry point. So in terms of the users themselves now going to the auction and bidding themselves for that car, that is not something we envisage right now. And it's very specialist at the moment. In the initial formation of their car, we're taking this very high-end specialist class of cars because they're the best collectible ones and, you know, least chance of depreciation and those unwanted things. So right now we're going to leave it to those very, very specialized agents to do that. But I can, because this is a very community-based project, like other blockchain projects, we actually have a blog and we have a leadership platform, and people have different status levels as they're trading in and out of their exotics. So they'll be engaged with those agents, and those agents will be engaged with the users. And I imagine that they will be taking feedback from them.
Absolutely. Now, when you exit a car, does that go onto a known auction like Barrett's or what's the other one?
Yeah, I can help with that. So at the moment we've got like four auction houses identified that would be satisfactory, and they include Bonhams, RM Sotheby's, Christie's, good house. So there'll be a number of recognized, accepted auction houses that we will be using only at this stage. And the reason that is because we do not want any kind of non-on-length things going on. We want transparency. And transparency is a big thing for Descartes, like displaying all of those assets. And that also means the on-point and the off-point of the platform must be completely transparent, and it must be arm's length. And so for the exit, it has to go to approved auction houses, and it has to be a reserve price for that, so there can be no funding stuff done.
Absolutely.
So am I getting back what I put in Bitcoin? How is
that's a great question. Who knows? So I must say that, you know, like any kind of thing, the prices for the cars can go up or down.
Right.
And so...
so it's not tied to, let's just keep it simple. I'm going to pay 5 Bitcoin to get in. And am I getting 5 Bitcoin when we exit, or is there some other...
Let me help you with that. So let's say you put in 5 Bitcoin last week. Then Bitcoin drops 40%, whatever it is, right? If you exit it when it's down 40%, and then put it back, you've gained 40% in those 2 days already.
But I can exit. I can only exit every 5 years, right?
No. It's completely liquid. So because of the volatility in crypto, we envisage it's going to be a large trading volume, right? Just like there is in Tether.
Okay.
That means you can stack it out as you like. And so that five-year thing... That's a very important thing, because that's a backstop date. If everything goes wrong, the thing is still liquidated after 5 years, no matter what. There's always an exit bottom line, right? But in reality, we envisage this will be traded quite a lot, and so you can come in and out immediately.
So now, with that, you're not targeting, I don't buy specific coin for a specific car. I buy the coin, and it's going across the broad range of cars.
No, let me help you there. That's not correct. So, so the way it is like, so there are some classic car investment funds in the past, and the issue I have with them is like, I never really know what I'm getting. And some of them are dogs, and I don't like them. Some cars I'm really bullish on, and some I'm not so bullish on.
Absolutely.
And the part big car, the user gets to totally decide what they like and what they don't like. So, for example, if a Ferrari F40 comes on the platform, let's take that one. It goes into a smart contract, and there's a, and let's say it's $1 million car, then there'll be 1 million tokens created for that car, and each of those tokens will be known as F41 for the first F40, if it's a 10th F40 on the platform, then F40 10. And so they're specifically linked to that car, and they'll be dollar each, right, because it's $1 million in the payment. So each of those coins is dollar each, and the user will be picking very, very specifically only the ones that they want.
See, now I like this because, you know, I hear a lot of these, you know, to be honest with you, I hear a lot of these ICOs and that come up, and they have no value. The coin has no value. And with me, I see a value here because I'm actually tagging it to an asset with an open, you know, with your digital asset. And, you know, I'm getting something in value for it 5 years down the road. So it's like a longer-term investment with me, and I can trade in and out of it for that car. Because the car prices go up, it, you know, it goes up.
Yeah, let me just add a little bit there. You almost hear the lawyer in my ear. But the first point is, Bitcoin cryptocurrency is not tied to anything at all, right? So it's like Bitcoin, and that's a free floating cryptocurrency. I call it the naked cryptocurrency. It's not backed by anything. It's not backed by anything. So that, for legal reasons, we have to do that so that ICO can go ahead. And that's very important. But with your Bitcoin token, you can then come on the platform in June, assuming the platform is then released and operational, and you can then switch it into the so two distinct phases that we're going through, just to be clear, for legal reasons, other reasons, go through that gate. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate it very much. It was a great interview with you.
Thank you very much. Really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Okay. That was a great interview.